Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we bless you for all things. Glory to God, for every good and perfect gift come down from the Father above. There's no variance.
Yes.
You don't change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, hallelujah, praise God, for traveling grace over the highways and the byways. Thank you for those that have pressed in, my God, in the name of Jesus. Some we haven't seen, praise God, for a while, but you preserved and you kept them, and we're eternal grateful for it. Lord, we bless you now as you take us into your word and open up our understanding and our eyes that we may behold the wondrous thing out of your law. The angels of your word bring light and give understanding to the simple.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the grace you've given us. Thank you for, praise God, the anointing and the power, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost that you've given us. We just praise you. We thank you for bringing Moni. Amen. She's just a testimony. Hallelujah. We can open our mouth and praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. If she can praise you, we know we can praise you. And we bless you right now. In Jesus' name. And the peace of Jerusalem, we pray for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. You know God is good all the time. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to see Paula over there. I don't know what to do. I had not seen Paula for I don't know how long. How long has it been, Paula? I missed somebody else back there. Who I missed behind? Sister Dorothy. Who is that next to you, Sister Ernestine? I can't see. Oh, well, praise God. Well, I'm trying to acknowledge you. You hide from it. You can't hide from the Lord. So it's good to see you. It's so good to have friends that can come and fellowship with you. Sometimes you feel like that you're, senses are dying. Sometimes you can feel like your season's over with. But not when it comes to the Lord. Amen. Man can make you feel like that, but God doesn't. Amen. I don't know whether you know this or not, but seeds travel. The wind can blow seeds to other areas. Not only can the wind blow seeds and plant them in other areas, animals eat fruit. And when they go and they excrete, the seed, praise God, comes out. And then trees and plants can grow from that, if you understand what I'm saying here. I'm trying to say it. Do you understand it plainly?
Amen.
There are ways that seed can travel.
Yes.
Amen. And then, of course, man plants seed. We strategically plant seeds. And we take them and we make gardens here or a garden there. So there are various ways that we see plants come up. We don't, may not always know how they came up, but there are ways that the seed travel. And every seed that God has made has the life in itself. Did you know that? Every apple has the life in itself, the seed. But the life is in the seed. God is not going out making more apples. Because when he made the first apples, he had the seed in the apples. And so the apples, praise God, when planted, the seed when planted, producing more apples. Are you hearing me? God didn't make two atoms. He made one atom. He put the seed in that man. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. And so when he made Adam, and he didn't make another Adam, he made that one Adam, we came and we call a regeneration, we call it generation, and we call it degeneration in the book of Genesis. But when God put the seed in man, and the man, praise God, deposited his seed in woman, but when it came to the first prophecy, the word of God said the seed of the woman would do what? Bruise the head of the serpent. Amen. So women do not have seed, but that was a prophecy concerning the virgin birth. Amen. Amen. Just remember that. But I was about to say, when I was talking about the seed, how that word is used in a lot of different ways when we talk about seeds. It has more than one meaning. Thank you, Sister Joanne. More than one meaning, because it also has to do with grain. When you talk about planting a grain of corn, that's a seed. Farmers do not plant all of their seeds at one time. They save some seeds, and they don't eat all of their seeds. Do you know that? A farmer will not eat all of his corn. He saves some of it so he can do what? Plant it the next season, which is another thought that comes with planting. It has to do with season. Hallelujah. Fruit come forth in its season. Not because you want it, but in its season. All right, hey, cut this thing off. Praise Jesus. I did. Well, he's off now. Praise God. And so that's what we got to remember, is that God has a way, amen, in his creative power that we may always understand. But the life is in the seed, and when you plant that seed and put it in good ground, I've seen seed break through concrete. I've seen it break through asphalt. Have you ever seen that? That's because with all of the right chemical connections and compounds, it's bound to produce a seed. Let's get into the word of the Lord, and I want to get back to answering questions that had been asked and show you where God's word would give you the answer. And the last time that we were here, we had begun to share with you concerning the question that if you ask God for something more than once, does that denote that you are doubting? And the answer to that is no. So I'm going to take you back to the word of God again and show you some more examples of when you ask and when you pray, that it's not showing that you doubt God. Amen. But you can, but it doesn't always mean that you're doubting God. So I want to take you to the book of Matthew. So let's go there first. And if you have other questions, you may ask those questions. And the reason why I think this is important, because there are times when we ask God for something, and we may hear someone teach and say, well, if you ask God for something more than once, that's showing doubt. Well, let's see what one of the greatest examples we have in asking God for something more than once. Go to Matthew chapter 27. See, 27 and 26. Go there with me and let me show you something in here. It's 26th chapter of Matthew, okay? Okay. If you got it, say amen. Amen. This is a Bible study, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to study. So I want you to bear with me. We get it together. Matthew chapter 26. What you have here is when Christ is facing the cross. He's facing his crucifixion. And you have four gospel writers here. You have Matthew, you have Mark, you have Luke, and who else do you have? You got John. And each one of them give you an account of what happened during the time when Christ was headed toward Calvary. Matthew gives this account in the 26th chapter. It's not where it began, but this is where we're going to show you when Christ, I want to go with you around verse 39 is where I'm going, but I want to show you something else before we get there. If you just come in, we're in Matthew chapter 26 and go around verse 39, but I'm going to go up and I'm going to start around verse 30. You got to say amen. It said, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Everybody see that? And what happened then? Then said Jesus unto them, all you shall be offended because of me when? This night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. By the way, when it said that it is written, that's a prophecy that came from one of the prophets. And then it said, and we can give you that. That came out of the book of Zechariah. But let's go to verse 32. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. That's what he's promising then. So Peter answered and said unto him, said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be what? Amen. And watch this. Just keep reading. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me how many times? Three times. That's thrice. Three times. He's saying this. Listen, Peter. Before the cock crows once, you will have denied me three times. Now, you know Jesus can't lie. So let's, Peter, I'll let you just start listening. Let's see what happened now in the next verse, 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane. And he said unto the disciples, sit you here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now the two sons of Zebedee was John and James. They were brothers. They were part of Jesus' team, a part of the disciples that were with him. Verse 38 said, and then said he unto them, this is Jesus, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry or stay here and watch with me. Now let me tell you this. Jesus, hallelujah, came, but he was both human and divine. And he was looking at Calvary, looking at crucifixion, and he knew what it entailed to die for all of the sins of all of the people of all time, which meant he died for your past, your present, and your future sin. You weren't there. So when he died, praise God, with you in mind. So when you did come on the scene, your sin debt would have already been paid. Hallelujah. What we have to, even your loved one we pray for, my loved one we pray for, sin has already had the payment paid. They have to receive it by faith like we did. Hallelujah. Because the debt has already been paid. Christ died on Calvary. Because the wages of sin is what?
Yeah.
And he paid that. He paid that. And it pleased God for him to die. I know we see pictures and we see movies, and it shows us how much he suffered, what he went through. But listen, this was planned before the foundation of the world. This was God. The Bible said this was God's way of bruising Satan. Thank you, Jesus. Christ, and he was pleased with bruising him because it was paying for the penalty of sin that man couldn't pay. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. So you don't take lightly the blood of Jesus that was shedded for you. Don't take that lightly. Hallelujah. You couldn't do it. Nobody could pay for your sin. Right? Praise God. He died for you. He died for me. He died for mom. He died for your dad. He died for sin. He died for Hitler. He died for Mussolini. He died for all men. For God so loved the world that he did what? And what else did it say? That whosoever shall believe in him shall not what? We have everlasting life. So don't give up on anybody. Don't give up in anyone because he died for us. Now listen at the next verse. Now we're around verse 39. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed. And this was his prayer. Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Listen what it said. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Amen? So when Jesus went to the cross, he was going because he wanted to please the Father. Now God had already been pleased with Jesus. Take your Bible, go back to the third chapter of Matthew. Just go back. Matthew chapter 3. Does anyone know what happened in the third chapter of Matthew? But what had just happened? That's right. He had just got baptized. Amen. Very good. He had just got baptized. So let's see what he said in this third chapter of, this is round 16. Matthew 3:16. Somebody phone? Okay. Matthew 3:16. This is what he said. And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water. And lo, what happened? The heaven was open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, there was a voice from heaven What did that voice say? This is my beloved son in whom I was. So listen, he was pleased with Christ and God sent him. And that was the sacrifice that was made for our sin. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 26 again. Hallelujah. What's happening right now? Jesus is doing what?
Praying.
He's praying. All right, look at verse 40. So he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep. And he said unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now listen, how many of them was there with him? Three. Who were they? Peter, James, and who? John. Well, now listen at this. He singled out Peter. Now think about this. You might say, well, I wonder why he singled out Peter, because James and John also was there. Peter was the hot shot that said, listen what he said. All the rest of me, they may go their way, they may do this, but I will die for you. He said, Peter, before the cock crows what? Now once, before the cock crows 3 times, you would have denied me. No, before the cock crows
once,
you will have denied me 3 times. So he called it Peter. Now, Peter, you telling me you would die with me, and you can't even watch for 1 hour. We do that, don't we? Got good intention. Lord, I'll go with you all the way. I'll do this, I'll do that. Praise God. And if it cloud up, sometime we won't even come out the house. Let's see what happens. We put it on our off rider. Let's see what happens. Watch this now. Amen. This now is around verse 41. So Christ said, watch and pray. What else did he say? That you enter not into temptation. And the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. So now what the Bible said in verse 242. He went away again the second time and prayed. Listen at the prayer. Saying, oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. So second time he's praying for what? The will of God. Amen. You praying for the will of God. You with me, Moni? Amen. Praise God. Amen. This is what he said in verse 43. So he came, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. He left them. He went away again and prayed how many times? The third time. Did that answer your question? That's 3 times that Christ has prayed, and he's praying the same prayer. So that doesn't show that you don't believe because you're asking God to do something. Amen? You want him to do it, then that you believe that God can do it. So if I know God can do it, if I have to ask him 20 times, I'll ask him. In other words, I'm saying I'm not going to anybody else because I know you're the one that got the answer. Amen. You may get tired of me, but I'm going to continue. Come on, come. Amen. In fact, that's what we saw in the 18th chapter of Luke. When this woman went before the judge, and I want to just go back and show you this because I'm headed somewhere. So we'll look at Luke chapter 18 right quick. Luke 18. Mm-hmm. Remember, he was the physician. He was the physician. He was the doctor. All right. This is just reviewing. So I'm just going back and rewinding and reviewing. If you got 18 chapter Luke, say amen. Watch what happened. He spake a parable unto them to this end. This is what it said. That men ought to always pray and not faint. Again, that was in a city, that was a judge, which feared not God, and neither regarded man. And that was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, listen at this, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continuous, look at this, coming, she will do what? Amen. So this is the unjust judge up here. This is what the Bible said. By the way, this is Jesus giving you this. This judge was unjust, and not only was he unjust, he did not even fear God. But she knew that this unjust judge had what she needed. So what did she do? She continuously kept going back. He's the one that said that she wearied me. But Jesus said in the latter part of this, this is around verse 6 and 7, So the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which did cry day and night unto him? You see that? Day and night. Though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what on the earth? Your faith will send you back. That's what will send you back. Your faith. You believe that God will do it? Your faith will send you back. There's another passage come to me. This is in Luke, I believe it's chapter 11. Go back there. Let's see if that's the one I'm looking for. Yes. Let me show you this. Luke chapter 11. I want to show you this one too. The question is, if you keep asking God for the same thing, does that say that you have unbelief? And my answer to you is what?
No.
What is God looking for? What is it, praise God, that God, the Bible said, without blank, you got it. So your faith keeps sending you back to God. Amen? Let's go back to Luke 11. Let's watch this. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, now this is Jesus praying, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. What the Bible said. And John also taught his disciples. He said unto them, when you pray, you're going to pray. You say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As well, in heaven, so on earth. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us what? Our sins. Why? Everyone that's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but do what? From evil. Now he didn't stop there, so stay with me. And then he said this unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he said within shall answer and say, my glasses, trouble me not. So the door is not shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. Now, I know you read over that, you probably don't stop, but that's a very important word, this, that, this. Because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. He said, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that what? Asketh, he receiveth. Now, grace, don't go too fast. If you keep asking, you're going to keep what? Receiving. And then he says this, and he that seeketh shall what?
Find it.
And he that knocketh, it shall be open. All right. And then he goes on to what to talk about a son asking his father. But I want to go back and perfect something here right quick. Go back to verse 8. You got the word here, importunity. Everybody see that?
Yeah.
You know what he's saying? If you have a friend, and that friend comes to your house, and even though you're in the bed, you've closed the windows, and you put out the lights, and everybody's in the bed now. But this friend come at midnight. That's your friend. What has happened, this friend had someone he met who was a friend. And so this friend came, and you know how you meet somebody, and you say, well, if you're out in town, stop by to see me. Now see, let me tell you, sometimes we say stuff like that. You know, we say that, but do you mean it? Suppose they take you up on it. You know, yeah, I'll just show you a good time. All you got to do, just get there. I mean, I've had that said to you, or you've said that to someone. Oh yeah, I'll show you a good time. Just get the party. Well, his friend came to party. Praise God. But it's at midnight. And the friend is asleep, has put the children to bed. And now there's a knock on the door at midnight, which is the time of the night when you ought to be asleep. All right. You ought to be in the bed. But he won't give up. He keep knocking. And more than likely, he has yelled out of the window, we're in the bed. We're asleep. But the friend kept on knocking. Well, this word, importunity, go back and look at that word. That word, importunity, means this. Praise God. It means no shame. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep doing it till you answer me. It means that there's someone who is persistent. So here's a friend. No, you my friend. You got what I need. And so I'm going to keep knocking, because if I don't, your neighbor's going to hear. And what your neighbor's going to think, that that's his friend, why you won't open the door for his friend? So he gets up and opens this door, and Jesus using this as a contrast. Now, if you have a friend, and your friend has a need, and comes and asks you at a time which doesn't seem like it's a good time for you, and you do it because you hear them persistent, keep on knocking. That's why he said, if you knock it, what's going to happen? It's going to open. That's what he meant. Up and keep on knocking. I know you're in there. Have you ever had someone to do that? Come to your house, they are knocked. They didn't even come to get a loaf of bread. But they know. I know you're there. Open up, let me in. Praise God. Somebody said they've done it themselves. And you've had it done to you. So he's saying this. And sometimes, well, let me get up. And sometimes we get up angry. Who is that at that door? This time of night. And then you find it's your friend. So Jesus is saying, if you have a friend that comes and without having any shame, knowing you got what they need, and you let them in and give them what they need, I'm a good God. If you keep knocking, I'm going to open. I will answer. Have you asked for something? Don't give up then. Come on, praise the Lord. Is it someone you've been praying for? Don't stop praying for them. Just keep praying for them. Good God Almighty. Now I want to show you something else. Hold that one. Go into 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I like your setup here. It's comfortable, isn't it? Good. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Remember, Jesus was the one that was giving these parables concerning prayer. All right? If you got it, say amen. All right. I just want to show you something here. We'll probably be coming back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, or we may not leave it, but I want you to see this. This starts around the first verse. I'm going to start with the first verse. Because so oftentimes we skip God's word, and there's a hunger. And not only is there a hunger, the Bible says in the 8th chapter of the book of Amos, and around verse 11, there's a famine for what? No, it didn't say the word. Go there and find it and see what it says, so you'll know. I want this class to be a word class. There's a famine for what? No. Go there and look.
Hearing of the word.
Aim for the hearing. Amos 8, verse 11. It's not a famine for the word, but there's a famine for the hearing of the word. Say amen to that. Amos 8, 11. Amos. That's an Old Testament prophet. Amen. I hope I'm helping somebody when you come. It's important that we hear God's word. There's a famine for the hearing. Because there are times you're trying everything with all you got. Lord, I just need to hear your word. It's a lot of music, a lot of this, a lot of that. I need to hear your word, though, Lord. I need to hear a word that's going to help me get along with my neighbor. Going to help me work through this marriage I got. I need a word that's going to help me give a loved one that's going through. I need a word that's going to show me that, praise God, that my living is not in vain. I need a word from the Lord. Oh, bless his holy name. I don't need nothing going to make me hop, jump, and skip. And when it's all over with, I still don't have a word. I need a word from the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you got it, say amen. Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. He said, it's not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now he's talking about himself. Whether in the body I can tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Hallelujah. And when he said that, now we use our text messages. Better look like that's a smiling face behind knoweth. Look at the word knoweth. That looks just like a smiling face, doesn't it? He said, God knoweth. Then he smiled. Praise God. Do you see what I'm talking about? Well, no, I don't have everybody's attention yet. Look behind the word knoweth. You see that? You see? It looks just like a smiling face, doesn't it? Praise God. So when he said, he smiled. He wrote it to us. He told us, when you read this, then smile. You ain't smiling. Have you ever gotten a text message from someone and they gave you a smiling face?
Oh, yeah.
With what they said? Well, this is one right here. So only God knows it. Smile. Let's go on. So he says this now. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. By the way, there are three heavens. I was teaching this once, and a pastor was sitting there, and the pastor said to me, he said, I didn't know that. There are a lot of pastors sitting. They may even be on the front row. There's a lot of things in his book they didn't know. But he admitted, he said, I didn't know that. I said, but there is three heavens. The heaven where the birds fly. The heaven where you have the stars, the moon, and you have what we call the galaxy. But the third heaven is where God is. There are three heavens. Amen? He said, I was caught up in the third heaven. That's what he said about that. How that he was caught up into paradise. And by the way, this word paradise is used three times in the word of God. It's used here. And you're going to see if we go back into the book of Luke. Because remember, somebody asked me a question about the thief on the cross who said, you know, he asked the Lord to remember him. And he said that he would. And, but anyway, let's go on. Let me finish this and see this. This is now around verse 4 again. How that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable things, words rather, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. But though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, that was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, a lot of people say they don't know what his thorn was. He finna tell you right here. I heard people say that. I heard ministers say, nobody knows what his thorn. The Bible tells you right here what the thorn was, this thorn was that was in Paul. And this is what he said. That was a thorn in the flesh. It was the messenger of Satan that was sent to do what? Buffet me, lest I should be exalted above men. So the thorn was a messenger from Satan. My God. That's what it was. And I can show you throughout the script and prove that to you, and perhaps we'll get to that. Just stay with me for a minute. But this thing that I besought the Lord, how many times? Three times. What was he asked God three times to do? Remove what? This thorn in his flesh three times. Hallelujah. And what did it say here? He said that this is what God said to him. Is that real? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. And we bless you for all things. Glory to God, for every good and perfect gift come down from the Father above. There's no variance. You don't change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, hallelujah, praise God, for traveling grace.
Glory to God. Lord have mercy. I apologize for some of you. You might have heard me. Glory to God, back in my semi-truck in. No doubt. But I just still wanted to give you the word of the Lord coming from the woman of God once again. And we're coming back again. Yes, we are. Just give us about another hour or so. I'm going to give you the word of the Lord again, coming from the one with God. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name on this Friday Night Live.